right. Good morning, guys. Second part of the series. If you have your Bible, would you turn to the book of Acts chapter 19? Acts chapter 19. If you don't have a Bible, we have a Bible right in the back of you. I love reading the scripture. I love reading what God will do. Everybody say, come Holy Spirit. I need to say that. I've been reading through the Bible plan, and all the time he says, you know, if you ask the Holy Spirit to come, he will come. That's just who he is. And so last week we learned the person and the work of the Holy Spirit and how he guides us, he corrects us, he leads us. And this morning, we are going to call this message, Not the Spirit. Everybody say, Not the Spirit. So I wrote this down because that way I say it verbatim, and so you can I'll just write this. I'll read this to you. Typically, I'm not a reader, but here he goes. No matter how I preach this sermon today, some will think I've gone too far. It's okay. And others will think I've not gone far enough. This is not a sermon against a particular holiday, though my convictions towards Mardi Gras and Halloween as a pastor of a church with a lot of new believers in the church, we choose not to participate in either of those holidays because scripture is clear that we are to avoid the appearance of evil. And personally, this is a personal remark, and I can say this because Paul writes all the time personally in the Bible. He'll say, and I think this personally. So, and personally, I have a hard time with the amount of evil, particularly, I don't know, I live in Halloween neighborhoods. I don't know if you live in a Halloween neighborhood. In particular, there are skeletons that are attacking houses in my neighborhood. There are like real ghosts, not like just Casper or like a little sheet over. There are actually like Bloody Mary and all this kind of stuff in our houses, in our neighborhoods, and there's just a demonic presence. So some of you will tune me out and say, but I really like that holiday. But I want to say as your pastor that today we would read the Word of God and that you would allow the Word of God to speak to you, that the Holy Spirit will lead you, guide you, and even perhaps correct you. Somebody say, correct me. You know, I love my kids, and Pastor Ted said this last week, but sometimes we have to correct, and that's what the Holy Spirit at times does. I want to give you two statements this morning before we get into Acts chapter 19. Number one, I want to say this, that Satan is real, number one. He is a defeated enemy. He is not a destroyed enemy yet. So Satan fell like lightning, the Bible says. Him and one-third of the angels fell, and those became demons, and the enemy, who is Lucifer in heaven, fell and became Satan. We know this by the account of Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Satan comes in. He is defeated because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Somebody should say hallelujah or amen. You've got a power that God gives you because of the defeated. However, he is not destroyed yet. He has a limited power here on this earth. On this side of heaven, which is the side that we're standing on right now, he has a limited power over us, even, and even as you see this, over his demonic presence in the angels, what now we call demons. Satan is defeated, but he is not yet destroyed. Number two that I want to give you is that Satan has a limited power, but our God has all power. Everybody say all power. My kids, I have four kids, and sometimes they'll get nervous or scared. I said, but God has given us all power. He's the authority. I walk in an authority that Jesus has given. So though Satan has a limited power, and a lot of times what Satan will do is distort what God has already given us. For example, if there's a gift that God has given you, he will distort that for a limited power and a limited purpose. Satan has a limited power. He's not defeated yet. However, the God that we serve has said, greater is he who is living on the inside of me than he who is living in the world. So there is a power that we have that is over all demonic presences and even Satan himself. And for that, I'm most excited. I want to give you two examples from my personal life before we get into Acts 19, 1 and 20. I was in band at Nicholls State University, go to Colonels. I know none of you care, so everybody else say, go LSU. I know they one last night. At 11 o'clock at night, I am trying to sleep because I'm preaching the sermon. I hear a raucous yell from the living room that somehow the Tigers had scored a touchdown. Glory to God. Obviously, the whole house needed to open for that. The week before, we had kids in our neighborhood that were going around knocking on the windows. And I don't know if they were knocking at 1:45 in the morning, so here I am exhausted, but go Tigers. Go Tigers. I, however, went to Nichols State University because it was cheaper. And I go Colonels. And so I remember being in the band. I was in the band for 4 years. And we had to perform somewheres in New Orleans. I forget where and for what reason they put us in charter buses. And they had about 3 to 4 Christians in the band. I was one of them. And several other students, but we had a band of about 120, and only 3 or 4 of us were like devout Christians, serving Jesus, that kind of thing. And we go into the French Quarter. It was nighttime. They had paid for our meal. So I think was there a Planet Hollywood? I think you can go eat there. So I remember eating somewhere in the Quarter, and we were starting to walk around the French Quarter, and it just felt like a presence, like a demonic presence. You know what I'm talking about? Where it became really, really heavy. I was with unbelievers at the time. I was just walking around with them. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the bus. I'm going to go back to the bus, the Greyhound that we were. And it was interesting because as I got back on the bus before time, I'm sort of like a party pooper. And so I'm in the bus and I noticed all the other Christians in the vicinity of our band were also on the bus. And I said, why are you here? And they said, we all felt that presence that said, get out. Another story of mine, we were serving as a missionary with King Castles. And this is like a group of people that serve Jesus, love Jesus, and we were in Nicaragua. We were doing a mission trip. Every day we would go out and perform dances. As you can imagine, that was terrible for me. But I can't dance. And so we went out and we were going and from village to village in the mountains. And it was one of those trips where like, you're not going to stop. You're just going to go. And so in the mornings, we would go into a new village. We would do dramas and stuff in the streets. That night we would go to Assembly of God church there and we would just preach Jesus and God would move. And we did this for like 5, 6, 7 days, do the same thing, new village. However, in this particular village, there was a witch over the village. And that's true. That was a true story. And they told us, they said, we are going into a town that is full of demonic presence. And so I was just like, but greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And so I'm just walking in full authority, and our little team is walking in full authority. And I kid you not, because one of the guys, 2 people on our team, instantaneously, when we entered that village, were struck with fever to 104. They actually like just went out. Like it was crazy. And one of them was actually Amber Smith's dad, who was on the trip with us, and he had fever to 104, could not get up out of bed, and they were taken out because the limited power that little witch had over that neighborhood, and they began to, I don't know what they began to do, but I know what the believers began to do. We began to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would authoritatively take over the power, that limited power that was over our believers, and I'm telling you, that night, they rose up in glory. Instantaneously, the fever left, and they were able to minister and share their testimony that night in the church service. That's the power of God that we serve. I want you to look this morning, Acts chapter 19, verse 1. This is one of the stories, and it happened, it says in Acts 19, verse 1, we're looking at the ESV. It says, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the island country, and he came to Ephesus. Somebody say Ephesus. Ephesus is like similar to the United States of America, like where we're at now. That's the same place that they are. It says, there he found some disciples, and he said to them, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So clearly, there were people, again, this is in Asia, and this is a faraway place from where Jesus and the disciples were. So Paul is on a missionary journey, and he is telling them about Jesus, and it says they didn't even know that there was Jesus, and they definitely didn't know that there was a Holy Spirit. Look at verse 3. And he said, and this is Paul speaking, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Remember that? John comes before Jesus, and he's a precursor to the Messiah. And here's what John says. He says, someone's coming that is greater than me. But many of those people repented and were baptized. And they said, no, we've been into John's baptism. And verse 4, Paul says, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. So they believed in Jesus, but they believed in Jesus that was to come. Like the Old Testament believers, right? Like Moses and David, they believed that Messiah was coming, and therefore in that was their salvation. They believed in faith that Jesus was to come, as did this group of believers. But Paul says, hey, just wait, stop a minute. Jesus has already come. He has resurrected from the dead. He has come and brought new life, and now you need to trust him, not as someone who is coming, but someone who has already come. Somebody say, already come. So, in verse 5, it says, on hearing this, they were baptized. If you know Jesus the Christ and you have not been baptized, October 27th, right here, Hope Community Church, do that as a sign of surrender. In verse 5, it says, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. We're doing that in the last message of this series. I'm excited. It says in verse 7, and they were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue, Paul did, and for 3 months he spoke boldly, reasoning, persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way that was Jesus before the congregation, he withdrew from them. And he took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This he continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greek. Continue on. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and they were healed. Can you imagine? A handkerchief that touched you now touches someone else, and instantaneously they're healed. This was happening at the Holy Spirit power that was upon Paul, that was able to happen. It says, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. So now we see that you can have a disease, but there are also evil spirits that come out of them. They said this, look at verse 13. It says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists. So now we see that they're exorcists. We see this in the Bible. We know that this can be a real thing, that someone has the power or the authority to cast out a demon. Over and over and over again in Jesus' ministry, we see that he delivers people from demons. It says the demons flee. They got out. They went into a herd of pigs. All of this happens. And that same power that was in Jesus lives on the inside of us. So you see that there were some itinerant. That's like some people studying on how to be exorcists, Jewish people. Now, I don't know if these Jewish people served Jesus, but here's what they did. They undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. Here's what they said. I adjure you by Jesus who Paul proclaims. So it seems like they don't really know Jesus. But they know that there's a Paul, and they know that Paul has an authority that comes from Christ. So they start walking around and saying to the people who have demons in them, I adjure you, I don't know if that's a good word, but I'm going to start using it. And they're going to say, by the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches. So they knew there was a power that Paul had because of the name of Jesus. So keep reading in verse 14. 7 sons of the Jewish high priest named Sevia were doing this. So there were 7 people going around, Jewish exorcists, trying to deliver people from demons. And listen to what happens in verse 15. This is fun. It says, but the evil spirit answered them. So now we see that evil spirits can talk. Keep on reading. It says, here's what the evil spirit says. Can you imagine? Jesus, I know. And Paul, I recognize, but who are you? Can I read that again? It says, Jesus, I know. Paul, I recognize. But who are you? So clearly, the evil spirits knew the name of Jesus. That there was a power and authority, not because of you or me or Paul. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross and that he came back from the dead. And the evil spirits understood who Jesus was. You see this all the time in ministry, right? And they come and they say, but Jesus, we know him. But Paul was recognized. Question this morning, are you recognized? Do the demonic powers, because of your faith walk with Jesus, know who you are? Would they say, Jesus, I know, and Pastor Ted, I recognize? Or I won't call out everybody's name in here, but what a way that we should be walking, that they would know Jesus, but they would also know your name, not because you're messing around with demonic spirits, but because of the authority and the power of Christ that lives on the inside of you. And Paul, they recognize. Somebody say, recognize. But then they said to these guys, but who are you? Look at verse 16. It says, and the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them. So spirits not only talk, they are strong. They have a real strength that takes over a person's body. I remember one time my husband was called to someone. I think she was in a hospital, a woman. We just got a random phone call here to go and pray over her. And there was a strength there. There was an unnatural ability that was not in her mortal body that this demon had overtaken her. And then there's an authority. They not only that they have strength, that they're able to talk. So it says this, go back to verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them mastered all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. So this is like the neighborhood gossip, right? Did you hear about the seven sons of Sceva? And they were trying to cast out a demon, but they couldn't. And they went around naked, and they didn't have any power, no authority. They knew Jesus. They recognized Paul, but they didn't know who these guys were. And it's spreading like wildfire around the town. And it says, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was exalted. In verse 18, it says, and many of those who were now believers, I don't know why they became, maybe they became believers because of what they saw. Maybe they were already believers. I don't know, but I'm guessing they were probably believers that were young in the Lord. And they were getting rid of, now look at what they do. In verse 18, it says, many of those who were now believers, because of the authority they saw in Christ, they came and they confessed and they divulged their practices. Can I say that again? It says they confessed and they divulged their practices. So they were practicing stuff that wasn't of the Holy Spirit. They were practicing stuff that was of another spirit. And when they came into contact with Jesus that Paul preached, and it was in such a powerful way, they began to confess and they began to divulge. I think there's a greatness this morning when you begin to confess your sin. When you begin to say, there are some things that are still in my life that don't honor Christ. Why? Confession brings healing. If you want to just keep on hiding it and shoving it under the rug, keep on, and that thing will grow and fester, right? But if you open up the rug and say, look, here it is. For example, my house, where I have dust everywhere, and yesterday we're cleaning out everything that has dust. Why? Because if not, it will continue and it will get worse. So these believers said, let me confess and divulge my practices. The Holy Spirit is bringing conviction on my life. It is time to surrender. What did these individuals surrender? Look at verse 19. It says, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts bought their books together and they burned them in the sight of all. So let me get this straight. These believers who practice magic arts did not go and sell their books to the local Books a Million. They did not go to Second and Charles and try to get a dime out of what they were doing. They said, no, We see the authority of Christ. We know that there is a resurrection power in the name of Jesus. And so it says a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and they burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. And that was worth a lot of money, millions of dollars in that day. And they went to the town square and they got rid of it. And the word of the Lord continue to increase and prevail mightily. So the question becomes today for us is, which practices and demonic things do we need to confess and surrender, particularly at this season? Let me ask you these questions. Number one, I want to give a point this morning. I want to say to you, if you have not opened a door, number one point, don't open the door. Don't open the door. There's no need for you to go into the French Quarter and participate in any of the things that are happening in the French Quarter at any moment, really. That's debauchery and evil spirits and all those things. But we were preaching, actually, Lynn was preaching this to the youth group, and he had such a well-defined list of things. And this is not exhaustive. I'm going to help you this morning to think of some things that maybe you've allowed in, or maybe you just are in your house. Perhaps they are just in another house that you have been attending. And these things need to go, because the power of the Holy Spirit is better than the limited power that the enemy has. For example, tarot card readings. If you have tarot cards, I would say throw them out or burn them. I'm going to mess with you guys just a little bit, if you allow me to. Yoga. I know, yoga is very, like, it's not like it used to be. I understand the people who tell that to me. But again, this is me speaking as a pastor. I just want to say this, as a pastor, that the people that we have seen, specifically young believers, that have started to practice yoga and art in this particular church, no longer serve Jesus. Yoga is connected to the Hindu religious texts. And basically, I know maybe yoga is not practiced in that way right now, but if you were asked to visualize something, maybe if you're repeating a mantra or you're opening yourself to a little energy, you should throw up a red flag and say, just wait, that doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit. Let me not open the door. Everybody say, don't open the door. Personally, this is my personal opinion, as your pastor who cares for your soul, I've only seen people that have walked away from the faith when they begin the practice of yoga. Evil eyes. Have you ever heard of evil eyes? Some of y'all are nodding your heads. I've never heard of evil eyes. It is a supernatural belief in a curse that you can curse people with the glance of your eye, so that you can start having a power, again, a limited power, and you can malevolently glare, or you could even injure that person. You are inspired by envy, and these things are happening. Another one that I would say don't open the door is manifestation. Very popular right now, especially on TikTok and all the social media. Be careful, even your students or your young children. Right now, manifestation is so popular. It was even on Oprah Daily. I'm sorry if you love Oprah. Yeah, you shouldn't. And so on Oprah Daily, she's not a believer, and it says this is what she says on her show, how you can manifest anything you desire, including the love of money. And you can keep it in mind. And what you do is you just think about it. I'm going to manifest wealth. I'm going to manifest money. I'm going to manifest this. I'm going to manifest that. And your manifest is about turning your dreams into reality. However, Jesus says that we're to pick up our cross and follow him. I was at the eye doctor on Wednesday. And he's very spiritualistic, mystic kind of guy. And so he's at the thing, and he starts talking to his assistant how he's going to manifest my eyes. And he starts talking. I think, how are you using this word? Why are you using this word manifest? But he was just going on and on about manifesting better things for his clinic and for his eye repair. I would just say, don't open the door. Crystal energy, Do you know what that one is? Where you get crystals. Some people believe that crystals, now, I like rocks. I for years and years and years, I actually have crystals in my house that I found in a rock mine. I'm so excited. I don't have any problem. I'm not worshiping a crystal, but there are people that believe that crystals, such as quartz and obsidian, they have a specific healing power, and it benefits your mind, your energy, your body, and your soul. And so they begin to, like, sort of, again, say chants or whatever to the crystal. And guys, I'm saying to you this morning, don't open the door. Another one is your astrology and zodiac signs. You remember those? You go into the newspaper. Some of us are old enough to remember newspapers, and young people have no clue what a newspaper is. And so you would go in a newspaper, and you would look up your month, your year, and it would just be a little bit right? And it just have like a little bit of information. Why? Because the enemy has limited power. So it's enough to grab you in, and instead of worshiping the God who hung the stars, you're now worshiping the actual star. That's what it is. Ouija boards. Can I say that one? I remember my mom, she grew up in a very unchristian household, and she had an Ouija board. They had a Ouija board. They would actually have seances down the bayou. Voodoo is another one. I'm coming back to my list. And I remember she told me this story. She said, you know what? I asked the Ouija board who I was going to marry, and it actually spelled out the name Rodney. For years and years, she thought, well, that was clearly not true. My dad, whose name is Rodney, went by the name of Ron. So everybody just called him when he was younger, Ron. You know, Ron. And all of a sudden, when she went to get married to him, and they pulls out his government name, you know, the birth certificate, here's the name, Rodney. And she freaks out. And she said, I can't believe that. But why? The enemy has a limited power. It's a power that draws you in so that you become a person who follows the enemy. And the enemy always wants these three things: to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he doesn't care how he does it. Let me keep on. Angel numbers and life path numbers. These are numbers that you sort of see all the time. Oh, like, look, it's 777. And then you see it again. And then you see it again. And somehow that becomes like your numbers, and it evokes a sense of wonder. And then you believe, oh, my goodness, I'm going to believe those numbers, and they become a part of your consciousness. And you confirm, oh, I'm on the right path because I just saw the number 777 or whatever unique number that's unique to you. And again, I would say to you, don't open the door. Christ consciousness, where you have the potential to become like a little Christ. Not that you would surrender your life and give your life to Jesus, but that you, this is what they believe, that you are actually a little Christ. That you actually have you're like a little God. And I would say to you, don't open the door to witchcraft, to dream catchers. Don't open the door. I remember teaching at Homewood Junior High School, and there was a tree in the middle of the backyard. I was a teacher for 5 years, and there was a group of kids, 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. They all would always wear black and very emo, emotional, whatever they were doing at the time, and they would always give me duty by that tree. I'm a believer, and greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. Those students, I got to know them. I would go and talk to them. And they actually had a book of Wiccan, which is another kind of witchcraft, and that her grandmother had given her. And she was underneath that tree studying the book of Wiccan. And they were trying to possess a very limited power, and they were serious. This was not playing to them. This was not games to them. And I would always lead them towards Christ. But I want to tell you this morning to stay away from palm reading. You know where they read your palms? It's becoming popular. Just the other day, we were watching, I think it was even on Fox News. And on Fox News, they brought in someone to predict who was going to win the election. Not asking Jesus, not asking the cross, but they were asking someone to read a fortune so that they could say who was going to win. What kind of America is this? That we're allowing these things into our feed, into our news stations, into our kids. There are new age practices. There's channeling, where you begin to start to do things, or even mind bending, where you can do things with your mind, and you begin and you start serving Satan in these little bitty things, and he's pulling you toward a life that is away from Christ. Maybe reincarnation. I want to tell you, we don't reincarnate. That is a Hindu belief, and so we don't do that. The Bible says that we come back in a glorified body, that we are the same. Perhaps this morning, magic or paganism, special powers, even Christian witches. This has become a new thing. I want to read it to you this morning. There's a Christian witch website. The event was held, guess which city? You probably don't have to guess. It's New Orleans. The event was held on Memorial Day of this year, Memorial Day weekend 2024 in New Orleans. They had a full moon, and they was classified as a Christian witch mystery school. They had speakers who taught on divinations, mediumship. They had a whirlwind tour of magic shops in the French Quarter. And they had a Harry Potter themed, I don't know why, they had a Harry Potter themed party on Saturday night. And not to worry, it's going to be held again in 2025 right there in New Orleans. Guys, there is an enemy that wants to devour us. I forgot one of them. I forget why I did it, but I remember this one too. Scarification. This year, this summer, it was not a student in our church. There was another individual that we know, one of our friends. And she calls, my friend calls, and she says, Tara, can you pray for my daughter? I said, sure, what happened? She said she was looking through TikTok reels, a Christian, a believer. They attend church faithfully. They're active in their youth group. And she said she put a scar on her body that was a pentagram, like of the enemy. She actually took a knife and just began scarring her body. She said, all because she saw it on a TikTok reel. And this morning she told me, I'm not following Jesus anymore. I'm following Satan. Her words, exactly what she said. And I said, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And she was getting ready to go to a conference that was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. So her and her mom, we prayed together. And actually, they went to the conference. They used our vans to go to the conference. And she comes back and she said, and Jesus moved. Why? Because the power that we have in Christ is greater than the power that's in the world. But the Bible says, don't open the door. Stay away from it. Don't open the door this morning. Number two, I want to tell you, if you have opened the door, close the door. Get rid of everything associated with the door. You notice that? What did the witches do in the polls? They took out their craft, they took out their books, and they put them to the middle of the square, and they said, we're getting rid of them. If you have something in your house that doesn't honor the Lord, get rid of it. If there's some kind of altar or some kind of thing that you know that the enemy, God has said, get rid of that. And by the prompting of the Holy Spirit this morning, you know that's not the Holy Spirit. Burn it. You bring it to church, we'll burn it for you. We'll have a big burning party. And we'll take all these things and say, why? Because it's so important. What happens is if we don't get rid of it, a lot of times we're tempted to go back to it. So if I used to look at astrology papers when I was young and I was in a problem and I needed to know what the answer was and I can't hear from God as clearly as I used to, what will I do? I'm going to go back to the astrology paper because sometimes it had a little word that sort of picked up my spirit. No, you don't. Don't get a newspaper. If that's your struggle, nobody gets newspapers anyhow. So don't get a newspaper and don't read it. Burn the very thing that is associated with the door that you have opened in your life. My mom never had an Ouija board in her house. Hallelujah. We never practiced voodoo or seances, though she went to them. And when she became a believer, she said, I'm getting rid of the old. I am putting on the new, and I'm not going back to the old. 1 John 4:1-4 says this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. That is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, that's us. It says this, you are from God. Would you say that? Say, I am from God. And you have overcome them. Can you say that? Say, I overcome them. and the name of Jesus, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Don't pass on books of astrology. Don't pass on a dream catcher. Well, I don't need it anymore. I've turned to Christ. Let me give it to you. Burn it. Prevent it from going to anybody else. There is no option this morning but Jesus the Christ. That's what Jesus says about himself. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. So we have to be conscious that we don't open a door, and that if you have opened a door, that this morning is a place for you to say, okay, God, I am closing the door and I'm throwing away the key. I'm not even going back. I'm not going back to what I listened to. I'm not going back to that horror show. Let me speak a little moment. I'm not going to watch that new horror show that just came out on October 31st because I know it opens a door. Anything that is not of Jesus the Christ, only that. Jesus says, I'm exclusive. We're to avoid the appearance or the form of evil throughout the Bible. That we're to abstain from evil means to live in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Can we play a song this morning, point three, and we'll close out the message with this. And this is the exciting part. This morning, don't open a door. The enemy has no answers. In fact, it says in Isaiah, it says, all that advice you made, aren't you tired? Where are all your astrologers, your stargazers, the ones who made predictions each month? Let them stand up and save you from what the future holds. Isaiah says, but they are like straw burning in a fire. They cannot save themselves from the flame. You will get no help from them at all. Their hearth is no place to sit for warmth. This morning, the good news, and I love this, that you can walk in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. There'll be times where people will call us. I have a house. This is true stories. Like all the time we get these. A haunted house. Or, you know, like I see things. Or I hear things. Or maybe someone passed away and they get real nervous about that. And I just want to say to you, if you're a believer in Jesus, Jesus they know. The enemy knows the name of Jesus. And you can be a person that they start to recognize. That's what I want to be. I want to be like Paul and say, I know Jesus and I recognize terror. But I want to say that the authority of Christ rests on you. So you can take some oil, and if you don't have any anointing oil, just go with your hands and say, in the name of Jesus. And you just anoint that house, and you demand by the power of Jesus the Christ, the risen Savior, that that spirit would be gone, or that demonic oppression would be gone. There is an authority that we can walk in because of the Holy Spirit. There is a power that comes from God that I am hoping demons are trembling when I'm walking by. I want to frustrate the tarot card readers in the quarter. I want them to look at me and say, but who is she? Because you have that authority this morning. You can begin praying over things. You can pray out things. I've been praying out things. It's been working. God's moving. You have an authority this morning. It's not just for me or Pastor Ted, but there's an authority as a believer, as the man of the house, as a woman of the house. Young people, you can step out and not let anyone look down on you because you were young, but you can set an example for the believers in life, in love and faith and purity. You can begin to do those things and say, God, use me. Walk in his power. Don't open a door. If you've opened a door, we're going to spend a moment. Go get rid of it. Talk to us. If you need to confess, I'm right here. No shame, no judgment. Let's just get rid of it. Let's say, but that's who I used to be. I'm not walking. You know, you see that like in the scripture, right? Paul comes and then they confess Christ. They don't care. They just bring all the, I was a witch. That's not who I am now. I was practicing dark arts. That's not who I am now. I'm burning that. I'm not opening up the door to that. That's who we should be. No shame, no judgment. Just saying, I'm coming and I'm becoming a new person. All the way complete. Surrender. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes this morning? If you have opened the door, and my goodness, that list could have probably went on and on and on and on and on. I don't even know. Maybe this is reaching back into your past things you had been to, places you had gone, things you have watched. And maybe you can't physically throw it away, but spiritually you can say, Lord, I confess it. And maybe it was just somebody dragged you to a haunted house and it got really crazy and really demonic. I don't know. But here's what I know, that there is an authority and a power that comes from knowing Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. And he offers forgiveness. He offers hope. He offers new life. And so this morning, just write you in the Holy Spirit. Just confess it and say, God, you saw that. Just say, I ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry. For everyone in the room, don't open a door. If you see it, there's no shame in just fleeing the scene. Joseph did that, right? He's like up in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife comes at him, and he's like, you know, I don't even want to be a part of it, so I'm just going to flee the scene. Don't open doors. If you see it on TV, shut it off. If you see it in a show, I mean, these shows are just full of things. They're bringing it out. They're making it more and more. You know that. Turn it off. That show's not that good. It's not worth your soul. Let's be a people that are pure and holy and righteous. It'd not even be a hint. If you need to throw that, whatever thing is away in your house, do it. If you need to bring it here, we'll burn it. We got you. But for every one of us in the room that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, we can walk in power and the authority of Jesus the Christ. Go and take that authority and power when you walk out those doors and set an example. You know, what we're doing in our neighborhood for Halloween is we're going to do like a Be the Light party. We're just going to like invade the neighborhood with light. Like, we're getting ready to hand out like Bibles and tracts and everything else. A lot of candy, but I'm telling about Jesus. I'm telling about the one who saves us, the one who died for us, the one who gives us life. And so this morning, walk in that. Walk in power. Walk in the authority of the Holy Spirit. Can you just lift your hands to heaven? And we're just going to pray. Would you actually just stand up right where you are? If you've already confessed and you've already done business with the Holy Spirit, let's walk in the power and the authority of Jesus. With your hands raised, let's just declare that. Just say, Dear Jesus, I am walking in new life. I am asking that the old would be done away and the new would come. Today, help me to walk in your power. Help me to walk in your authority. That you would come and invade my house, my workplace, my family, and my neighborhood. Help me to be a light, to say no to darkness, and to say yes to you. I recognize the name of Jesus as having full authority over me and my life. Can I just pray for you before we leave? God, I pray. God, thank you so much that you give us power. God, thank you that there is an authority. God, I pray that we would walk out of this building using it. God, that we would not be afraid or scared or timid. That we would not shrink back, but instead we would work full force ahead. God, I thank you that there's freedom. God, just like those in the book of Acts, Lord, that delivered that up, Lord, that there's just a freedom there. And Lord, it's saying, I just don't want to walk or look like that. So God, I thank you for freeing us this morning. And God, I pray that you would help us to not open any doors, to not look to any other person but Jesus the Christ. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for new life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. We love you guys. If you're a visitor, grab that visitor card, bring it to the front desk. They have a fabulous gift for you. Sign up for baptism October 27th right here in-house. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30 in Jesus' name.